Galatians 3:10. And I guess I'll be my little clicker. Keep your fingers crossed. There you go. Look at Galatians 3:10. All who rely on observing the law, watch what it says, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is the one who does not continue to do everything written. Written where? Written in the book of the law. So which one of us in this room has done everything under the law? None of us. Are we cursed? No, because we follow Christ. Look at James 2:10. Whoever keeps the law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of what? Breaking it all. Breaking it all. What did Christ say in that regard? I look at Matthew 22, more specifically 34 through 30, which I don't have up here. Actually, it's through 40. And what does he tell me? He says there are two things. So what he's doing is he's taking the law and he's condensing it because he knows his creation has an issue and they can't follow it. So he does two things. He says there are two things that are important. One is that I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my spirit. And he said the second thing is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if I look at what he said the two are together. And he said something else. He said, whoops, let me put that diagram back up again. I'm going to go backwards. I like this. Here's what he said. For those of you, I thought that was a wall back there. What? For those of you who live under the law, here's what I want to tell you. Not only is this going to kick your teeth in, but it says to me, you must love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. This is about me. This isn't about my neighbor. This is about performance. It isn't about receiving. It is about doing. There's something that I use often with clients. And I think you'll understand when I say this. Because again, since we are performance driven, are the things that we do out of duty, or are they out of delight? Are the things that we do out of duty, ought to, should, must, or are they out of delight? I love the Lord. This is what God has called me to do. Okay? So what's the purpose of the law? Now that I'm talking about it. So what's the purpose of the law? To show us our sin. To show us our sin. To condemn us. If we look at the law and know we can't follow it, what's the law doing? I think it's condemning us. But it's also designed to point us to Christ. Because for those of us who realize we can't do this, we need a Savior. And there are people who come into my office and they say, Andy, I know I need Christ, but I haven't got enough. And what that immediately says to me as a counselor is, from a spiritual perspective, you mean his death on the cross was not enough for you? as I look at my checkbook, is it enough? If I put it in a spiritual realm, what about my thinking? Do I need to think differently? Yes, I do. I need to get away from this, and I need to get away more into who he is and what he wants in my life. The law should not be, the law could not be obeyed. That is, you and I couldn't obey it. That's Galatians 3. That's not up there. 3, 24 and 25. What Christianity does not ask you to get it right. It wants you, it wants to make you right. It wants to make you right. Okay, let's flip over to another slide. Here's where I want us to be. Look at the difference that's there. You may not pick it up, but there's a lot of difference here. There's a lot of difference here. The first difference is I've changed the wording. I've changed the wording. And now I have judged competent, reward, and perform. Now remember, performance was the very first one here. Then judged competent. Am I judged competent? By him, yes. By others, sometimes not so much. And then I perform. So let's walk through this equation. How do I know? What gives me the confidence that I am competent? You already know the answer to this. God gave us his son. He gave us his only son. And he loved us so much that he did that. Would he have done something that was like that for trash? Doesn't just his death on the cross say to me that I have value and worth? No matter what the world says about me, that I have value and worth? Just that one thing. I am judged competent. Look at the scriptures that I put up there for you. I'm accepted. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. This is a God who loves me. This is God who cares for me. See, now we move from the law. Now we move to an equation that does what for us? Gives us grace. Look what follows. Just as he has judged me competent, he already gives me a reward. And what is that reward? It's eternal life. That's when I hear those folks say to me, well, that's just not enough, Andy. That's just not enough. I go back to the other equation. That's just not enough. Okay. My reward? Eternal life. Now, I begin to connect with this God so I understand what his plan is for me, because he has a plan for me, because I have been born at this time, not 1492, I didn't come over on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, okay? I was born here. Why was I born here at this time? Because God has a plan for me in this season and in this time. What is that plan? I don't know. And God says, seek me, worship me, and you will discover the plan that God has for you. Because doors will begin to open. As you begin to seek him, doors will begin to open for you. God wants to bless you. God does not want to hold you back. God wants to bless you. God wants to be part of your life, as we have talked about here. God wants to be part of your life. All right, so let's flip this real quick. Let's flip my flipper. These things you already know, as we've talked about. Grace is a free gift. Romans 6:23. Grace is a free gift. Not only that, but what? Grace is received by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. We've already read that scripture. So as we begin to look at what's going on with grace, let me flip one more time. Grace is for all of us, just as salvation is for all of us. And finally, grace comes only one way, through Christ. Through Christ. So those are four key elements that you already know about grace. It comes from Christ. It is for us. It's a free gift. And it's received by faith. So if I put the other equation back on the board again, that should begin to give you some idea of the power and the force of grace. Now I want to talk a little bit about that. Very simply, a little bit about that. Let's have you turn to Luke. And I want you to turn to Luke 19. And I want to read a little bit about somebody that we know. And it's Zacchaeus. Why did I bring Zacchaeus into this? All of a sudden, I have two equations on the board. One, I think, which is the world given to us and built by Satan. And the other is God's. I've given you four elements of grace. So let's take a look at some other issues dealing with grace. And let's start with Zacchaeus. I'm in chapter 19, and I'm looking at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, who was chief tax collector and very wealthy. Now, what that says to me is this man had, if we went back to the other equation, status. He had power. He had people working under him. And I'm just going to assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to assume since he worked for the government, he was able to skim money off the top. And that was his wealth. But of course, he had power, even though he was probably very much hated by the people. So while he is living in luxury, he has to watch his back, probably, for what the people may do to him, say about him, or whatever. So he probably wasn't very comfortable. So again, here's what we know about him. He was the chief tax collector. I read from the NIV. And he was very wealthy. Now, for some reason, and you guys will know this, for some reason, he was very interested in Jesus. Now, what do you suppose caused that? Well, in my economy, there isn't anything that's by coincidence. And when I'm talking to clients and I will talk about things that's happened to them and boom, 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 you can begin looking at how I just thought that was coincidental. No, maybe it's God's Holy Spirit trying to speak to you, talk to you, and let you see what's going on. I think this is the case with Zacchaeus. The Holy Spirit was prompting him. Here was Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus became interesting to him because Jesus was nearby. No, I think it's because he wanted to see what was going on with this man called Jesus. He'd heard about him. But he wanted specifically to see what was going on with him. So as the scripture goes on, and I'll skip some of that, as the scripture goes on, because he was a short man, Zacchaeus decided that he would do what? Climb a tree. And the scripture goes on to define that tree as being a sycamore fig tree, and it was supposed to be a strong tree so it could hold him. Now, I don't know about Zacchaeus. If he was wealthy, the chances are he was short and plump. That's just my, assumption, but okay. And he had to get into a tall tree and a tree of strength because of that. So I'm down now to verse 5. He went in that tree because he knew Jesus was coming along this way. And so when I look at verse 5, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, that is probably underneath that tree that Zacchaeus had climbed, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, of course, when Jesus said that, what happened? Well, all those people that hated Zacchaeus to begin with began to mutter. That's what the scriptures tells us, began to mutter. What were they muttering? What's going on with Zacchaeus? Why is he interested in this man? The Pharisees began to talk about that. Why is he interested? And here is Jesus, the Son of God, who is going to do what? Have dinner with this sinner. With this sinner. Here is Jesus wanting to have dinner with this sinner. So as we look further into the scriptures, all the people began to mutter. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now, watch what he says, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. And as you read this scripture, just like, you know, okay, he's making a commitment to pay them back the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man today, I'm sorry, this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. What happened? Well, here's a man who was chief tax collector. Here is a man who had wealth, despised in the community, but now he sat with Jesus. He had supper with him. He had food with him, and now he has changed. Okay, let's look at a couple of things. I'm just about to close, so let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at Luke 19, 6 and 7. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So he came down at once and welcomed him, Jesus, gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he, Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Grace pursues. Yeah, there we go. Well, is that where? I've gone too far, haven't I? Okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm with you. There we are. Look at what it says. Now here we are moving from performance to grace. And look what it says. Grace pursues right things. Well, you could say either one. Jesus was pursuing Zacchaeus because Jesus already knew his heart. Or because Zacchaeus noticed there was something different in this man and wanted somehow to change his life and knew this man could do just that. So in both cases, we can say they were pursuing the same, pursuing the right thing. So as grace overtakes us, we begin to pursue two things, I believe. One, we began to pursue God's plan for our lives, and we began to also begin to love those around us in a different way. What do I mean by that? How about judging my own life How do I respond to people? How do I react to people? Am I quick to judge people? Do I think people ought to, should, must, do? Well, not all of us are perfect. So I think we want to pursue the right thing. We want to pursue people in the right way. We want to show them grace. We ourselves want to come out from under the law. And we want to pursue the right things. Let's look at Luke 19, 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all miracles they had seen. Grace produces joy. Grace produces joy. So we can already begin to see that there has to be some kind of change in our lives. We begin to pursue the right things. What are the right things? Those that God would have us to pursue. And as we pursue the right things, it produces joy in our lives. It produces joy in our lives. So let's jump to number three. I'm not too smooth at working this, am I? Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll hold on to that and I'll be more fluid in this. So number three, grace personally knows his voice. What did I say to you earlier? I said we do a lot of things. We pursue a lot of things. Are they within God's plan for us? Now, let me just say this. The things that we do may be very good. They may be very good. But are they what God wants you to do? Is it what God calls in your life in terms of a plan for you? Because he has a plan. He created us with a plan for our lives. Are we living the plan that he's called us to live? See, here, grace pursues the right things. Are you pursuing the right things? When you leave us, do you go home and pursue the right things? And do those things bring you joy? Or are you bitter because of what isn't in your life, because you don't have enough? I don't mean to be negative, but I will. What happens if it all comes apart? I mean, as we have seen in the last week or so, we have seen Iran throw over 300 projectiles into Israel. And we have seen Israel respond in its way. Although for some reason I think that the United States has a part in how Israel responded. Just my opinion. So what happens next? If you read the headlines, you know that Iran is now supposed to be only weeks away from a nuclear weapon. What are they going to do? Are they going to lob that into Israel? Into Jerusalem? We hope not. Then what does that look like when, if they do, Israel responds? Is Israel going to listen to President Biden in terms of what they need to do and what they should do? I don't think so. And then who gets involved? Russia, China, the United States. What if a missile hits New York? What if a missile hits D.C.? What if the Chinese decide to interrupt the electricity in this country? And you have no electricity for weeks and weeks on end. What do you do? You and I both pray that this does never happen. But what do we do? See, our only hope is in Christ. And we have to begin living as though our only hope is in Christ. Because we don't know. We know our future. We know that we are going to be with Him one day. What does it look like? Are we raptured out here tomorrow? Does that tarry and we aren't raptured out? You know, that doesn't happen. Where is our hope? Our hope is in Christ. That brings us joy even in the circumstances that we may find ourselves in today. And often again, in counseling, and maybe it's because I just see so much negative day in and day out, there are going to be a lot of people. There are going to be a lot of people, unfortunately. A lot of people, I hope, left behind to have another shot at it. But I can't guarantee that. Nuclear missiles tend to destroy a lot of things in their path. We live in a very tense world. And in order to survive, in order to live as God would have us to live, we have to live by grace. We have to continue to do the right things, because they will produce joy in our lives. This is grace. Number three, grace personally knows His voice. Zacchaeus knew His voice, and he came down out of that tree. There's something else here. And I guess I'll jump to four. There's something else here. Grace produces change. How do I know that Zacchaeus changed? Here is the chief tax collector, despised by many, wealthy man. And what are the comments that he makes? He says, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What is the word of God called for in the Old Testament for Zacchaeus to do? Pay back the amount plus 20%. That's what the Old Testament calls for. What is Zacchaeus doing? Zacchaeus is going over and above what he needs to do. He is doing what is right under God. 400 times the amount. Change. So grace does four things. Grace pursues the right things. Grace produces joy. Grace personally knows His voice. And finally, grace produces change in us. We have seen this morning by a little simple diagram what the world calls for us to do. And I think as Ken so distinctly put it, I have got to stop performing. I have got to become who He's called me to be, and I have to work in His plan. How does that happen? When I stop living under the law and start living under grace. That's what God has called us to do.